his blessings upon them. So I won't forget what God has done for me one night. Gwen said, I might have been in there, Brother Al, when he came and got you out of there. Because I used to hang out in there. And I'm like, well, Lord, you know, that one night I was in that nightclub and thought I was finna have some fun. And it was fun to me when I was in the world. Know about y'all. Y'all, it was fun to y'all. I'm going to speak for you. It was fun to y'all, too. But that one night he came and got me out of there and said to me three times, go home, get out of here. You don't belong in here. And on that third time, I got so shook and I knew it was real because the first two times I turned and looked over my shoulders thinking somebody that knew me, that knew my upbringing, how my mom and my daddy was, they wouldn't approve of this. Was telling me, you go home and get out of here. You don't belong here, boy. But there was nobody there. And so that third time, I said, well, I know it's got to be God talking to me. So I quickly ran to my buddies and told them, look, man, y'all take me home. I got to get out of here. I don't supposed to be here. What you mean you don't supposed to be? You came. What is you talking about? You know, you called us. Say, oh, y'all ready. And so I went home. And after that night, I just started to pick up the Bible and just start reading, you know, and my mother told me that, you know, God is calling you. And so I just thank God for what he did for me. He brought me out, you know, when he brought me out, I wasn't walking that straight and narrow. I was struggling. It was a struggle to live saved, you know, after coming from church over there on 1400 Dyer, listen to all this good preaching and teaching and ministers and testimonies and all of that. I get in my car and I drive home, put rap on Eric B. Just coming from church. It was a struggle for me to live. But as I strove and kept striving, say, Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this. I don't want to be that other person no more. That last time I was riding down Highway 70 leaving from who's my wife now, leaving from their house, I flew those cassettes out the window and I didn't pick them up no more. So God delivered me from that. So Jesus, I'll never forget what you done for me. And it's just so many. We can just go on and on and on. If we just go back, we can just reach back. Man, if you start reaching way back, we heard some powerful testimonies. I mean, we reach back a little bit sometimes, Gwen, but we reach way back. You'd be saying, him? Huh? Really? You know, that don't even look like them. But man, when God do a number on you, he'll do a number on you. So God is looking for those true worshipers, those that will come back and say, Lord, I appreciate what you done for me. You know, nay, I tell you in the car, I tell you in my house, I tell you around my wife, my children, some of my brothers and sisters. But Lord, I tell you out there on the job. I tell you out there in the grocery stores. I tell you everywhere. It don't make no difference. If it come up, I'm going to say, Jesus did that. You know, I'm going to be one of those true worshipers. You know, not just one to say, I believe. You know, we got a lot of believers, but we ain't got a whole lot of worshipers. And if you believe, you're going to worship God. So I just thank God. I just think back where he brought me from. And it's just marvelous in my eyes what he done. Not what I done. I couldn't do nothing. I've been falling and falling and falling. But God has been picking me up, telling me, yes, you can. And in fact, God tells some of us, yes, you will. Yes, you will. You're going to get through this. So today, yes, you will. You're going to get through this, man. You're going to get through this. Yes, you will. So I thank the Lord for healing my wife. And I'm just one of them weirdos. When pastor started praying for my wife, I laid my hands on my wife. And as she began to speak, I said, yes, Lord, that's right. Yeah. And everything and everybody that's connected to her, come. Go through her and come on over here on me too. So I was looking and believing God for my healing too. You know, I'm believing by faith. I didn't get what I was looking for. You know, but my knee ain't hurt no more. I wasn't really, my mind really wasn't focused on my knee. My mind, I'm just going to be honest, it's focused on my shoulder. And listening to my wife testimony, like, Lord, my knee ain't swollen, ain't hurting no more. Because you do remember I said my right knee was bothering me, and, you know. So he did come on through her and touch me. But, man, I'm looking to be made every whit whole. I mean, everything. You know, I know God can do. He just can't touch a knee. He, I don't know where he started from. He started from your, healing from your crown of your head. So he had to hit the shoulder first before he get the knee. So, yes. A lot of people say, well, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Maybe he started from the sole of my feet and hit that knee first and he ain't got to the crown yet. So I don't know. So, but God is so good. He's amazing God. And there is nothing that God would not do for us if we don't, if we trust and believe him. If we trust and believe God, we read this morning, God would not hold any good thing. How you say it, Brother Hearns? Finish that. He would not withhold any good thing to them that walk upright for him. So we just got to keep the word. God ain't gonna hold with any good thing for me. And you out there living like I don't know what. You out there serving the devil. Finish that scripture. Those that walk upright. And then I guess when you say those that walk upright, then they're. Amen. You know, no, you got to walk upright. You know, healing is the what? Children's bread. It belonged to you. Not only the healing and all the blessing that God has for us. All your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, it belongs to you when you're a child of God. I ain't going to take my bread. Why ain't going to let me take my bread and give it to nobody else? Well, you want to give that? Why don't you see if one of the kids want it? Check in the house first, you know, before you start going to God. Got to check. I got to see who's in the house is in need. I don't know about y'all, but I'm standing in the need of a blessing. You name it, I'm standing in the need of it. So if you name it, I'm standing in need of it. You know? So God is just good. We're going to be reading out the book, John chapter 9. This morning, it's so good to see everybody this morning. My little sister's back there I call your name in prayer. My big sister back there. Well, you my little sister too. No, you my little sister. I tell my oldest, I'm the youngest of all. And I said, y'all my little sisters and little brothers. But I'm so glad to see you, Keisha, and all of you all. I'm so glad to see you, and I thank God for my wife. Don't bother me when I'm trying to seek the Lord. And I thank the Lord for her. Thank God for my past. Thank God for everybody. But I thank the Lord for my past who's allowed me to stand in her stead. Pastor ain't gonna let nobody get up here if she don't feel that they need to be up here. I don't care who you are. Son, daughter, best friend. You ain't getting up here in front of these sheep that who she's over unless God tell her that something different. So I thank God for her for allowing me to stand. And if it wasn't for her, I know I'm talking, I'm going to get to it. If it really wasn't for God, but working, using her, man, I wouldn't be up here, probably. Unless God used somebody else, but, you know, she just, yes, you are. No, I don't know. Yes, you are. I don't know about that, but yes, you are. And so I had to line up with, yes, you are. You know, I had to line up with the word. We all going to line up with some word. I had to line up. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. And so I just thank God for it. I love him. And we had talked this morning. I ain't gonna throw the dirt. As you say, we ain't going to kill you. But I thank the Lord for this word this morning. When we're talking about a true worshiper. And I know you all know this story about the blind man that was born blind. And Jesus did a number on him. Jesus did a number on me, boy. I know he did a number on some of y'all because y'all done told the story already. I done heard y'all testimony. He did a number on y'all. You know, so Jesus did a number on this man. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, God. Lord God, first of all and always, God, I give you thanks, oh God, for all that you have done, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for keeping us. Thank you, Father God, for watching over us. Thank you, Lord God, for saving us, Lord. Thank you for meeting our needs, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this rhema of word, God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and what you're yet going to do, Lord, and what you want to do. Now I pray, Father God, this morning, God, that you would use me, Lord. Anoint me, God. Use my mouth, God, for your purpose, Lord, to speak, God, to encourage your peoples, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give God one good praise this morning. One good clap off, a real good one. Hallelujah. I'm going to start the very first verse here. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man worketh. Jesus is saying, he said he got to work the works of him, which is God. We know God sent him. You know, I got to do this work that my Father sent me to do. You know, we got to do some work that our Father sent us to do. God sent us when we got saved and gave our life to him. We had a work to do. You know, when Jesus came down, Jesus was working in the beginning, the Bible says. In the beginning was God and was the Word, and the Word was God and Word was with God. The same was in the beginning. So Jesus, he ain't just come down here and just start working. He already begun a good work. And so we got to do some work down here of him who sent us. You know who sent you? Jesus sent us on out here. So Jesus was sent by his Father to do something. You know, he's sent to do his Father's will. And the Father's will is that all should come to repentance. He sent them to heal the sick, deliver, raise the dead, to give hope, peace, save the lost, die and rise again. Jesus had a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do, you know. And he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said, Go, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He was sent to do something too. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Jesus said to the man, Go and wash your eyes in this pool, which is sent, you know. And so the man washed his eyes and he came back seeing. So it wasn't the pool that healed the eyes. Was it the clay that healed his eyes? Or was it because he did what Jesus told him to do? He just did what Jesus told him to do. God is telling us to do some things too. Each and every day. I don't believe there's a day that goes by that God don't speak to us unless we don't hear him. God telling us to do something every single day. We're sent not only sent to go out there and make that paycheck so we can have the lights on and the food, you know, buy clothes, fill up the closets and things like that. But God is sending us out there to do something else. But we just got to have that ear to hear. This man was sent by God to do something. And when he went and did what Jesus told him to do, the Bible says that he came back with his eyes open, seeing. So the neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him that was blind said, Is not this he that sat in bed? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes open? And he said, and answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed and received my sight. So the man is saying, I just did what he told me to do. That's all. That's all we got to do is just do what God tell us to do. You know, some of y'all just did what he said. He said, yes. The man said, yes, that, you know, that was me that sat, that was blind and could not see. It was me. We heard this morning what things was, you know, in the past, but what God has already done. He said, yes, that was me that was blind. Some of us was sitting on the corner and begging. Some of us was blind. We couldn't see. Some of us was sick. You know, some of us was lost, but we ain't no more because we did what he said do. We was. It was me, the man said, but it ain't no more. I was blind. I couldn't see, but it ain't none of me no more. You know? So he said, I just did what he said do. Let's jump down to verse 13. Now they finna start investigating this man. You know, folks, when God do something for you, man, they sure can take you through the ropes. Man, they can act just like the detective. Right in the church, at home, you know, they put him under the spotlight. You know, they finna check this man's record here. And so they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Then again, the Pharisees, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes and I wash and I do see. Either they was asking this man, you know, how he did this, because it says they asked him again, how he received his sight. Either they wanted him to make up another story and not tell what God had really did for him, or they just want to make sure that we are hearing right. You know, sometimes when God do something for you, people just have to ask you again. Now, what did you say? Who did this? Are you sure? So sometimes the enemy use people to do that so you can recant your story, your testimony about what God has done for you. But don't give up your testimony for them folk. You know, maybe they don't understand and they won't ever understand, but you know what God has done for you. Like one person in my family, when God done something for me, it was a miracle what he did. You know, it was God doing this. When God paid off this house, y'all heard that testimony, but it was a miracle. This was me and God walking. Jesus came to me and said, if you do such and such and such and such, I'll do such and such and such and such. It's like, okay, well, Lord, I'm going to go and do it. I struggled with it, but I did it. But when God did it, I was assured. This man was assured that God opened up his eyes. Couldn't nobody tell him no different. I was sure that God did this. But lo and behold, the Pharisees came and said, now, wait a minute. Now, tell him what you told me and see if he going to believe that. And I started to get a little shaky. I said, well, I gave him the story, how God paid the debt on that house, $48,000. And it's like, now, you know, it's like them. Now, you know that God don't hear sinners. Now, you know, daddy did that. You know, daddy had some money. And I'm still thinking, daddy had some money. Maybe daddy did it, but daddy didn't know about mine and my wife's affairs. We didn't go around telling folk, well, we got a loan on the house and we got this and we got that. No, all we had was debt. We had a big $48,000 debt. And so he said, you tell him what you told me. And I said, yeah, I'm going to tell him, Lord. And I told him. And the person like, man, you sure? I'm sure. I know y'all ain't sure. I know what God done. How many know what God has done for them? How many know that God done something for you that man cannot get the credit for? He ain't going to let me. The devil ain't going to make me recant my story. Because it's the truth. God did it. And then when the Holy Ghost began to interrogate them, that's what he did. I said, well, wait a minute. Well, my father called and asked me how much I owe on my truck. He wanted to do something for me. You know, God just want to do something for you. God want to do something for you. You know, he can pay the $48,000 house debt, which he didn't know about. When he called me and said, look, how much you owe on your truck? And me and my son, I said, oh, finna get my truck paid off. Daddy finna pay it off. I said, $10,000. Oh, well, I ain't got that. And then I thought about that and I said, well, Lord. And I told him, I said, well, if he couldn't pay $10,000, how he pay this $48,000? Man, you just got to do what he say do. You just got to believe God. And I heard a testimony how this man, this apostle was sick. That's what got me on that journey to believing. You got to start telling what God has done for you. Cause had I not heard that story, that testimony, I probably would have just been, probably would be in the same shape. But this man said he got so sick to where he had to go in the hospital and stay. He said he was so sick. This is his testimony. He said his intestines came out. He said he was carrying his intestines in his arm. That's how he said he was like this. And he went to the hospital and stayed there for till God delivered him. And then when he came out, he had these three debts that he had to pay. And so he went to the first one. And the first one said, hey, you've been in here already, Ford. You've been in here already. He said, no, I ain't been. I'm just getting out of the house. Ford, now you know you just left out of here. He said, well, is my debt paid? He said, yeah, you paid it. He said, okay. He went to the second one. And the second one said, yeah, Mr. Ford, you know you just, yes. And the third one. He said he went to the third and he's like, nah, I wonder what they going, they got. It's paid, right? Yes, Ford is paid. So when he told me that, I'm like, Lord, if you can do that, I believe that. He said, God paid my debt. He said he sent an angel. He said, must have been looking just like me because they recognized him. He paid three huge debts for this man. And so when I started to think about that testimony, I said, well, Lord, if you, yes, you can do that. All things are possible with God. I'm not going to recant my story. God paid this debt off. Yes, God paid $48,000 that Daddy Walter Deeds could not do. And so, look, I'm not going to recant my story. Yes, God, Jesus, this man named Jesus opened up my eyes. That's what the blind man is saying. It was Jesus and Jesus alone that did this. Are you sure? I'm sure. Are you sure about your salvation? Are you sure of what Jesus did for you on the cross? I'm sure. Have you made your election sure? I've made my election sure that what he's able, what he began, he's able to accomplish. God is able to accomplish everything that he started. He didn't just open up one eye of that blind man. You know, both of them eyes came back seeing. Both of them. So they wanted to make sure that they were hearing right. They tried to make him change his story. Don't change your story. You know, and so now they are saying, let's go ask mama and let's go ask daddy. Since he won't change his story, since you won't tell that it wasn't God, we're going to go and make sure. We're going to go to mama and daddy. They should know for sure whether you was blind or not. Cause man, we just don't believe. They should know for sure, Tawana, that look, they should know for sure that your hip and your knee was hurting or not. Somebody need to know for sure. That's just what you say. That's just what he said. And go tell brother, go ask brother Brad was, you know, don't nobody come to me after service. Was our hip and our knee really hurting? Yes, it was. She get up out of that seat. I'm like, man, you getting old? Let's go ask mom and daddy. Are they trying to get somebody to destroy your testimony? The devil trying to destroy our testimonies. He said, but the Jews did not believe concerning him, verse 18, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that received the sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then do he now see? His parents answered them, we know this our son. I know that's my wife. Yeah, I do. And that she had a bad knee, was blown out. You know, yeah, he was blind. So by what means now he see it? We know not, or who opened up his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him, let him speak for himself. Ask the woman. She got to give an account for that testimony. You got to give an account for your testimony. You know, so they look, ask him. He'll tell you, you know, why don't y'all want to say nothing? Because the Bible said that they feared that if they said something about what Jesus did, we're going to put you out of the synagogue. Like that old Shouting John, that song. If you come in here and start praising God, jumping around like you crazy, Jackie, you come here next week, you start running around this church, we're going to put you out of this church. We're going to put you out of here. You say anything about Jesus, y'all say something about him, y'all going to be thrown out the synagogue. Huh? Jesus warned us and said, look, they're going to persecute you. They're going to throw you out of the synagogue for my sake. So do you still want to tell that testimony, Tawana? Do you still, Jackie, want to run around this church next week? Do you still want to tell how good God is, Brittany? Do you still want to do it? Because something just might come over us in here. We just might say, you got to go now. We might change. We might be the first and say, you got to go. You can't, you're not welcome here no more. We don't do that in here no more. Or you still going to have that same testimony that God did it, that Jesus did it? Huh? I'm going to have my same testimony. So they said in verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Jesus said, look, they're going to put you out anyway when you start talking about me. They ain't going to put you out the synagogue. They're going to put you out of your house. You ain't going to be able to work no more because you can't say nothing about Jesus on the job no more. You have to be careful about when you even praying for folk. When people come to you and ask you for prayer, I really look and say, Lord, this might be my persecution time, because job don't believe in, they believe in you saying something about God. But you say something in Jesus' name, oh no, I'm offended. You, wait, you asking me to pray for you? You know, that's the only God that I know. You know, what's your God name? Surely he's got a name, don't he? Who is your God? Maybe I should ask that first. Who is your God? You know, the guy that came here last Sunday, we was out there talking, and he was saying, yeah, I believe in God. And I always say, I tell my children, when somebody asks you about your God, you tell them his name. Your God got a name. I say, well, okay, well, what is his name? Well, he's God. I say, well, who do you have faith in? Who do you believe? What is his name? It's Jesus. I say, oh, okay, then we all right then. Long as it's Jesus, we okay. You know, you come on, you're welcome. He was welcome if he wasn't Jesus. Because maybe the Lord was going to jump on him and save him anyhow. You know, but you just got to stand up and just know and just trust God and don't turn away from your testimony. It was Jesus and Jesus all by himself. It's just Jesus. That's it. Just Jesus. He said, they're going to put you out anyway. They're going to throw you out the church for my name's sake. Don't you worry about that. That ain't the end. And he says down here in verse 25, and he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. They asking, okay, now you know that God don't hear no sinners now. We know that. That's they calling Jesus a sinner. Since Jesus opened up this man's eyes. Now you know that he being a sinner or no, I know not. One thing that I know, I was blind and now I see. He's saying, I can see now. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? And how opened thine eyes? He answered them and told them, you already, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore will ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Y'all want me to keep telling this testimony over and over? Y'all ready to be converted? Huh? It was Jesus. You know, it was the Lord. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Here we go now. We know that God spake to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Here it is, they saying, we know God spake to Moses. And I asked a question when I was thinking, how did they know God spoke to Moses? Were they there when God spoke to Moses? They got this whole agenda going on. He said, we know God spoke to Moses. They know that God, they heard that God spoke to Moses out the burning bush. They know that God was, that Moses was sent to be a deliverer of Israel out of Egypt. They know that God spake to Moses the written commandments. They know that. They knew God gave Moses a mission, and they knew that Moses had credentials from God. But one thing they didn't know is that Jesus, he was sent also. They knew about him. They knew about Jesus, that he came from Galilee and that he was a Nazarene. They knew his parents, Joseph and Mary. They knew his brothers and his sisters. All they knew about him. That was all that they knew about Jesus. But John said, look, there is one that's standing among you that ye know not. They really didn't know him at all. They just knew about Jesus. They knew about Moses. Jesus, he had the same credentials as Moses had, but his was divine. They didn't know that he was the divine filiation. They didn't know that he was from the Heavenly Father. They didn't know that he didn't have no brothers and sisters for real. You know, they didn't know that he was the only begotten Son of the Father. They didn't know that he had a mission to come down here and save the world from the sins. They didn't know that Jesus has his own credentials from the Father also, and that he was here to deliver them to us in the flesh. They didn't know that. That's why John said, there is one that standeth among you that you know not. They didn't know Jesus for real. They didn't know. There's people that don't know Jesus for real. There's people that have gotten their deliverance, their healing from man. God used Moses. God used Abraham. God used men. God even used a donkey to speak through a prophet. But we don't give that, we don't give Moses credit. We don't give him the glory. We don't give the donkey the credit. God uses the doctors and the nurses. God used Tylenol. He used medicine. It's God using it. But do we wake up when we get healed or we start feeling better? Do we say, well, thank you, Tylenol? Thank you, Robitussin. Man, I'm glad for Robitussin. No, the first thing I do, I say, Lord, thank you. It was you in that stuff. It was Jesus. It was Jesus inside of Moses. It was God himself using Moses. It was God himself using David. It wasn't a Tylenol. God gave man the wisdom and the knowledge to make this stuff. So it's all Jesus. So we don't wake up giving them glory. We don't wake up giving them praise. We got to give the praise and the honor to whom it's supposed to be. We got to be what that man did. We got to go back and say, Lord, thank you. There was 10 lepers that God healed. 10 of them. All of them got their healing. But only one was a true worshiper. One came back and said, Lord, I just want to say thank you. You know, I praise you for it, Lord. I just want to say thank you so much for healing, not me, just us. All of us. You know, one of the people say, Lord, forgive us, me and my father's house. So he said, Lord, thank you for healing me and them. We got to say, thank you, Lord, for doing it. It's God that's doing it. He was a true worshiper. God is seeking such. Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. That's who God is looking for. And so, God himself had to come down here in the flesh and do this thing. God is going to use man for some things. Saints of God, God is going to use us. But it's just some things that God just got to do by himself. Only God can do. You know, we're looking for answers right now. But God going to have to come right down here just like he did before and do this thing again. God going to have to do it for you. He ain't going to always use man. He going to use us, but God is going to do it. I'm so glad that he did it for me. Jesus heard, verse 35, that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto them, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe him? He said, do you believe the Son of God? Do you believe him? Do you, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Because I know I was blind. Who is he, Lord? I know that I was a sinner. Lord, I know that I was out there in the street, but all of a sudden, Lord God, I just start feeling like I shouldn't be in the street. All of a sudden, Lord, I stopped drinking. All of a sudden, God, I just stopped smoking. Lord, all of a sudden, these things just started to, who is he that I might believe? Huh? Who is he? Jesus said in John 1:26, he said, but the hour is now to worship. It is now to worship. And this man came at the time after his healing when Jesus found him. Jesus come, he gonna come looking for you too when he do something for you. See, I was lost, you was lost, but Jesus came and found me. And when he come and find you, he gonna ask, do you yet believe? Do you still believe? Huh? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Look, the people, they knew that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was coming. They knew that he was going to do miracles. They knew he was. But it wasn't no accident when Jesus came and saved you from a car accident. It wasn't no accident when Jesus brought you out of the street. It wasn't no accident when he came and got you off the corner. It wasn't no accident. It was Jesus there, but yet, we give praise to the firefighter. We give praise to the paramedics. We just start thanking everybody but Jesus. The movie producers, they get all of these accolades and all of these awards. The first thing come out of them, I want to thank him. I want to thank that director. I want to thank this person. I want to thank my mama, my daddy. Nobody wants to thank the Lord. Nobody lift up a hand and say it was God. Because some of their testimonies, that they were living in cars. They didn't have nowhere to live. Now they billionaires. But nobody wants to give God no credit. You know, they may throw a preacher $1 million here and there. But they ain't out there confessing Jesus at all. They not confess. They might make the movies about him, but they ain't confessing Christ. I don't see them on TV saying, well, it was Jesus. It was God that did this. You know, I was, man. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know how my life was going to end up. When I got out of high school, I thought, well, Lord, I'm the last one. I wonder what mom and daddy going to do. They're going to put me out and tell you, you got to get out there and fend for yourself. I didn't know what my life was going to be. You didn't know what your life was going to end up be. But God give us an expected end. When God said he know the thoughts that he have toward us, man, he really knew what he had. He really knew what he was thinking. But I didn't know what was going to become of me. I'm thinking, well, Lord, should I go to the service? Should I go get a job? Should I go do this? I don't know what to do. I didn't do any of it. But one day God came and saved my soul. Started speaking into my life, telling me over 30-something years ago what I was going to be doing and how this was going to do. And then if it wasn't a prophet or the preacher speaking to me, then as I said, it's something that come to my mind, something. I call the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, something. Yes. back then. It was something that came to me and say, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. You're going to have that. And I couldn't see at all how could any of this could be possible. You know, man didn't do it. Daddy didn't do it. Mama didn't do it. The preacher didn't do it. I didn't do it. Jesus did. He just started opening up a window and those blessings just started to fall down on me. And I didn't know what to do with them blessings. I said, Lord, I got too much of this. I got too much of that. I go to the garage sometimes and say, I'm going to move this over here. I'm going to move that over there. All these blessings that God has gave me. He will do it. And he's yet doing it. He promised not to withhold anything from us. Any of them that walk upright. We just got to walk upright and believe God. We just got to come back and do what the man did. We just got to come back and say, Lord, thank you. I worked. The Bible said he believed and then worshiped. See, some people just believe. They don't come back and worship God. Those are those people I was talking about earlier. How God has moved in their life, moved in their family's life. And they don't come back and say, now God blessed them with jobs. I mean, good jobs, making big money, houses. And I mean, just full of God's blessing. And they don't come back and say nothing. They don't come back and say, rise up and say, I want to thank God for, you know, giving me my house, my clothes, my shoes. They don't say none of that. They don't come back. But I tell you what, God is looking for the true worshipers. He's looking for those that's going to come back and give it all to him. What is a worshiper to you? Let's find out what a worshiper is. What do worship really mean? Jesus said in verse 38, he said, the man said, Lord, I believed, and he worshiped him. So come, let's worship God. What worship is just magnifying, exalting, giving somebody some praise, giving them some gratitude, you know, giving them high regard. We hear this all the time, how people give flesh, man, woman, boy and girl, they just raise them up so high, give them so high regard. I know the Bible tells us that we must give honor to who honor is due. Well, all my honor belongs to him. That's what it says. All the honor, all the praise, all the glory is thine. That's what it says at the end of the Lord's Prayer. All is thine. Yes, I thank God for you, but Lord, I thank God first for you. You know, all of this belongs to him. So this is a time that we just not supposed to believe, but we're supposed to come on back and worship God for what he did. That's the first thing you all did when you came in this house. You said you got to stand up and give God some praise. You got to stand up and tell what God done. You got to give him some glory. It wouldn't be right if you didn't. You had to do it. It's just in you because you know where God brought you from. You know it's been God that's keeping you. You know people next to you on the left side are falling dead. 10,000 on you. People just dying, but it ain't came nigh thee. You know, you still standing, you still going to work. You run out the house, you forget your mask, you forget your gloves and all your utensils, and you ain't got no more of the hand sanitizer. You know, you don't say, well, I can't go in today. I ain't got my gear with me. I always got my gear. You always got your gear with you. You in the secret place. You're going to always have your gear with you. As long as you got Jesus, you got your gear. You covered from head to toe. You ain't got to worry about that 99.9% stuff. You still open. You're still vulnerable. 1%. You know, 99.9 and a half won't do. None of that stuff ain't going to do. It still can reach out and touch you. It still can. And I don't know, but people just, it's, some of it's just comical to me. It is. People don't want to touch nothing but what they want to touch. They don't want to touch you. They don't want to touch stuff, but they want to touch what they want to touch. Go in this grocery store. I'm going to touch all these groceries. I'm going to go into Kohl's. I'm going to touch all these clothes. You know, I don't like that shirt. Jackie, could you come and slide these hangers for me? Because I don't want to touch them hangers. No, I'm going to slide my own hangers. I want that shirt over there. I want that blue collar shirt. I'm going to touch it. But when you leave out, I can't touch nothing. You know, give me, I ain't got no Lysol to spray this stuff down before I take it in the house. Come on, man. All of that stuff is just ridiculous. It is totally ridiculous. Spraying their food and all that stuff. I said, what do you think that stuff doing to your food? I said, man, you going to eat the Lysol? It's just crazy. But God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to be truthful. You got to worship God. God is looking for people that will have full confidence in him. He's looking for you to just have just total confidence. I mean, that 1%, that 99.9, get that other percent and worship God. 400%. In spite of God, what we go through, in spite of the pain, in spite of the grief, in spite of the shame, Lord, I'm going to worship you. We got to worship God. The time is, Jesus said, and now that God, he seeks those that worship him in spirit and in truth. It is not the people. It is not flesh. We got to stop lifting up people and lift up God. That's why he said, if I be lifted up, not Brother Al, whoever got the mic or whoever got the floor, when they say, if I be, we talking about Jesus. If Jesus be lifted up, he said he would draw all men unto him. If my people, not mine, I ain't got none. I'm one of them people. If my people, he's saying, will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked way, I will heal the land. Jesus will heal this land. People just got to start. We just got to start worshiping God. We got to stop saying, Lord, bless us. Bless United States. Bless so-and-so. It's time for United States to bless God. It's time for all those other nations to bless. God has just been cheated out of his worship. When God does something for us, we forget about him. Thank you, Lord. That's it. That the Bible says, exalt him. We was reading this morning, right? We got to exalt him. Come on. David said, let us exalt him together. Let's lift his name higher than whatever you got going on. Lift the name of Jesus above cancer, above lupus, above your knee pain, above your shoulder. Come on and lift Jesus up and watch and see on a blessing come down. God is looking for the true worshiper, and that true worshiper is going to lift God up and exalt him above everything that's going on in this land. We got to worship God. It's time to worship him. It's time to bow down. And if you can't bow down, your knee hurts, sit down. If you sit down too long, get up and walk. God looking for your bent heart. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for your heart to be folded in half. Bend your heart, he said. You know, my knee don't work all the time, did he? My arm don't feel like clapping all the time because it hurts. But my heart, whom God sees, is always bent. Lord, you know I want to do right. You know I want to be able to walk and praise you. You know I want to make the noise. I want to be the loudest one in here. I want to stomp the loudest. I want to clap the loudest. I want to beat that tambourine the loudest. I want to give you what you do, Lord. God is worthy of the praise. He's worthy of it. So it's time for God. Time for us to give God his true worship. And we must worship God in spirit and in truth. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. God has circumcised our hearts. We don't want to do the things that we want to do no more. And when this man, Jesus came and found this man, it's not that he saw Jesus before because he was blind. The Bible says that thou hast seen. Jesus said, thou hast seen and heard the power. It's the power. That man was blind. And when Jesus opened up his eyes, Jesus opened up some of our eyes. When we began to see, the Bible said Jesus was gone. He left. He wasn't there no more. So how is it that thou hast seen? You had already seen. Now what he did, what we, what, what happened to us, we experienced some power. You know, we experienced the power of God, the virtues of God. That's what we've seen in our spirit. Lord, I don't understand what happened. That's what the man was saying. That's what we said. I don't know what y'all can say, what y'all want to say about Jesus. But as for me, I know that this God, I know that this man opened up my blinded eyes. I know that he healed my body. I know that it was Jesus when somebody said, I love you. Virtue came in my body and healed my body. I know it was only Jesus. And can't nobody else do it. It's impossible. All things are possible with God. With men, he said, this is impossible, but all things are possible. Everything. Everything. So if you got something today that you deem this, you may not have voiced it. Feel in your spirit. Lord, I don't know how this is going to get done. That's one of those impossible things that you're saying, I don't know how it's going to. It's not for us to do. It's not for me. It's for God to do. Worship the Lord. Believe God and worship him and watch and see don't it happen. I don't care what it is. You know, I don't care what it is. Spiritual, monetary, I don't care what it is. God wants to do it. God wants to. You got fathers and mothers that love the children. What is it that you won't do for your child? What are some extents that you won't go for your child? There's people in my family right now that's going through some great extents for their children who are wrong as two left shoes, but they are standing with them children. How much more will God stand with us? His only begotten, us, his beloved. How much more God wants to do, you know, what we need done? I don't know about nobody else. It's just time for me to start worshiping God. I worship him, but I want to, Lord, if this worship ain't good enough, then I got to get a little bit closer and worship even the more. You know, God is expecting something from us. And not to say, I believe God. The devils believe and they tremble. They show some kind of works. We got to show some kind of works. We just got to trust God. God is seeking those that worship him in spirit and in truth. God bless you. I pray that God will touch each and every one of our hearts and not have what the world have, the fear, you know, every kind of excuse that the enemy give us. Come on, let's worship God. You know, we all got something to do for him. Come on and let's get on in here. I'm talking about in this place and worship God. It might be one thing or another that you don't agree with or like. But we're here to worship God. That's it. We're just here to worship him. Lift up holy hands and put our minds up on him. You know, forget about yourself, whatever yourself is thinking about. You know, yourself thinking about something today, about yourself, bring it on up here and give it to God. Say, Lord, I'm just going to worship you. All that other stuff I'm leaving outside the gates. He said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with a praise. That's what he's looking for. And all that stuff that you leave out, if you forget about it, but God ain't now one moment has forgotten about what's on your mind, what was in your heart. God got it. And one day, it could be very soon, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour it out on you. Just like I was saying, Brother Ron, I said, Lord, when he was giving his testimony, his window has opened. I mean, Lord was showering down. I mean, from spiritual things, natural things. I mean, God was just pouring it down on him. And I believe the man would just worship. I just believe he was just worshiping, believing God at the same time. He was just giving it to God. He didn't bring it in here with his heart and no more. You know, Jesus said, look, come on. These are mine. You know, bring your burdens to me. All you that are burdened and heavy laden, bring it unto me. I give you rest. But we just, for some reason, we keep those things in the back of our minds and in our hearts. But it don't, it don't belong to me. And I know we're supposed to bear one another's burden. But some things you just can't bear. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. You got to bear your own cross. You know, I got my own cross. Mama, you got your own cross to bear. You know, the way we bear they burden, we're just going to lay them before God and pray. God have mercy on them. Whatever the Spirit tells us, how he tells us to pray, that's what we got to do. But to carry somebody's burden, I can't carry some of y'all's burden. It's too heavy for me. You know? It's too heavy. But Paul said, but our light afflictions. I'm going to close with this. But our light afflictions, they are only but for a moment. Worketh for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight and glory. So all your burdens that you are bearing, know that God just ain't jumping on you. It's working for your good. He's working it out for you. So just keep on dragging that cross. Keep on going to the altar. Keep on coming to Jesus. You know, keep on worshiping. Huh? God bless you. Let's stand to our feet.